our thoughts gain power over us. And some of us are being tortured day in and day out. Especially when you try to sleep at night, bad thoughts come to you. All of a sudden, you review your life and you feel yourself a failure. You review your life and you say it's wrong. You begin to fear, and fear is not of God. Let me just tell you something. When you apply God's purpose in your life and you allow the knowledge of God to take your mind and your thoughts, you are then more than a conqueror.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Foursquare Church. It's Sunday, September 21st, 2025. Pastor Zonia speaking. Today's message is entitled, The Troublers of the Soul. And our text comes to us from Psalms 23:5 and 42:5, as well as 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 through 6. And now here's Pastor Zoni.
This morning, I'd like to address the troublers of the soul. And believe it or not, the text, several texts, but the first one will be Psalms 23, verse 5. Because We all know what it means to feel pressure from the outside, and we often have to go through criticisms and injustices and opposition, but also there are some issues from the inside, and that's what I want to address in reality. The thoughts that don't quiet down, the fears that disturb and take away our sleep, and memories and haunt us. The Bible calls them oppressors or troublers of the soul. It's in the Hebrew. I'm not going to go into it. But the Bible tells us there are two types of enemies, and the enemies are external, and the enemies are internal. And so I need for you to understand that sometimes the worst enemies are from within. They rise within our own thoughts. We lay there in bed or sitting in the couch or driving, and all of a sudden thoughts begin to rise and they throw us off kilter. And we begin to imagine things that are not true, but somehow, some way, me as being very complicated beings, integrated by our soul, by our mind, our will, our body, emotions, relationships, they all come up together. And if any one of those is out of alignment with God's purpose and direction in our lives, inner troublers arise. But the Good Shepherd is there to help us, because in the midst of the troublings that we feel inside and the troubles that we experience from the outside, internal and external troublers, battles that we continually face, we have the Good Shepherd, who says he's not going to leave you, he's not going to abandon you. So Psalms 23, 5, this is what it says. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my troublers. The word enemies is translated in so many different ways. In Spanish, angustiadores. In the presence of my angustiadores, those that bring anguish, that bring trouble. And it goes on to say, you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. It is an immense comfort to you and to me to know that God sets a table before the external troublers. That's what verse 5 tells us. The oppressors, the harassment. David said, you prepare a table. A table is a place of honor, security, abundance. And when you and I would sit in a table, the king's table, it meant that we would be under his protection. And the amazing thing is that God does not wait for enemies to vanish to bless us. He honors us right in front of the oppressors. External thoughts, visible pressures, injustices, persecutions, criticisms, slander, financial needs, hostilities of others. God's provision is that he does not postpone those attacks, but in the middle of the storm, he is there to give you victory. To recognize table moments, to recognize that his table will provide comfort and strength and peace in the presence of opposition. So sometimes we want God to bless us by removing everything that is troubling us. But I want to encourage you to know that in the midst of your troubling, the Lord is there setting a table. Setting a table. You know, when you're wrongly accused at work, when things go wrong at home, when things just don't seem right, God sets his table of joy and strength in your heart. And somehow, some way, in the midst of the anguish and the pain, there is this light of hope and strength, which is the joy of the Lord. He brings it to you. So the problems of yesterday, the problems of today, the issues that you and I are facing, they do not deprive us or stop us from God's provisions in setting up a table in front of the accusers. In front of what is going on today, the Lord is there to see you through. We all have oppositions, but I think the biggest deal is not so much people hitting us or homes that are wrecking and children that don't serve the Lord, and they're all very difficult. But I think that all of us need to understand that there are internal troublers that seem to be always activated or wanting to take the place of God's peace. Psalms 42:5. These are the texts of a soul in turmoil. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, that and my salvation, my Savior, and let you, give me have the next verse, because you moved it, you didn't move it, okay? Put on your hope in God, for I will yet praise him. And I'm looking at another version that says, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? The murmuring, the loud noises, like waters in a storm. You can't rest like you should. You're troubled inside. Psalms 55, 4 and 5 says, fear and trembling have come upon me. Horror has overwhelmed me. The inner life described as panic, anguish of the heart, the body trembling. Psalms 143, 4 says, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. Again, is the fainting of the inside, being suffocated, being without the strength to recover. And that happens to many Christians today. They're haunted by yesterday. They're haunted by today. There are things in the heart that are not outside, they're inside. The fears of what if, the anxieties, exaggerating possibilities, consume the heart. Imaginations, oh my goodness, mental images that imprison and accuse. The psalmist says, please, there's turmoil in my soul. And he begins to name the enemies, not from the outside, but for the ones inside. And you and I need to come to a place in our lives that we need to call out those enemies from within. And just simply say, I will not fear, for the Lord is with me. The soul, brothers and sisters, the soul integrates the mind and the emotions, the will, the body, the relationships, everything. It's you, the different dimensions of who you are. And when one of them gets out of alignment with God, oh my goodness, turbulence rises. You know what turbulence is, right? You're in a plane and the thing goes up and down. And that happens in our life often. Because all of a sudden, our mind is void of truth that sets us free. All of a sudden, emotions are without grounding, and fear comes and despair comes. The will is not surrendered to God, therefore there is this restlessness. And a spirit without God is absolutely desolate. My God, why have you forsaken me? So there are troublers, not so much outside, but inside, fears, anxieties, imaginations. You try to live for God, and yet you're haunted at night. And nothing is more important than for you and I to name the inner anguish. Because when you do that, you don't show weakness. It is the first step in where you and I can abide and reside in the peace of God. There's a whole passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 where it says that we should take every thought captive to Jesus Christ. Every thought that troubles us should come to the feet of Jesus Christ and say, Jesus, this is the thought. These are my imaginations. These are my fears that trouble me and are controlling me, for I don't have the victory that I should have. In chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians, Paul is defending his ministry against the critics who were accusing him. They were saying that he was weak in person but bold in their letters. And then he begins to explain to the Corinthians that Christian warfare, the Christian life, is not fought with worldly weapons, but with divine power. And verse 5 names the real battlefield. He says, not physical enemies, but arguments and pretensions and thought that rise against God. And believe it or not, we have the capability, the ability to allow thoughts that are against God that causes our personal defeat and anguishment. Let's look at that scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And we begin by reading verse 4. She's looking it up right now. It's going to come. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. Can you catch that? Okay. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments at every pretensions that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive, here we go, captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. What we're saying here is something extremely important, because it tells us that we fight arguments, pretensions, and thoughts that rise up against God in your mind. And it causes you to think awful things that do not come from God. And the language of captivity is incredible. Paul contrasts two kinds of knowledge. He says there is this knowledge of the world. It's called arguments, pretensions. It talks about human reasonings, proud systems of human thought that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. Oh my goodness, have we not been accused of that? Have we not been accused of having a knowledge that is different from the world? But we do have something different than the world offers. We don't resolve our issues. We don't resolve our anxieties by thinking like the world. There's a different type of knowledge. Philosophies and cultural narratives and personal lies that claim authority over your life and my life. Dallas Willard said, every person has a theology, whether they know it or not. The question is whether it's true or false. And the worldly knowledge today cuts us off from God and produces distortion and bondage. We see a world today distorted and in bondage by thoughts that do not come from God. It is worldly knowledge. The way the world does its things is different. When you go to God's word, the knowledge of God, you find that Paul talks about knowledge of God as a relational knowledge. That you and I not only have the ability to think through concepts about who God is through the word, scripture, but that you and I develop a relational relationship. Kind of the two words together. We develop a relation with Christ, and we walk with Christ and we talk with Christ. He speaks to you, you speak to him. And there's an intimate awareness of God in Christ, grounded in scripture and illuminated by the Spirit of God. That you have a whole volume of knowledge, a whole volume of understanding that differs from the world. And this is the knowledge that dismantles lies, because God is truly reality and not the world. God's character, he's holy and he's merciful, he's just. God's promises, faithful and failing. God's purposes, to redeem, to restore. The knowledge of God is what makes you surface, makes you move on, keeps you going. The knowledge of the world destructs, punishes, anguishes. It totally neutralizes your ability to live. But the knowledge of God helps you understand who God really is in your life. And so you and I need to override ignorance. And ignorance is not simply lack of information. It's living a life that is distorted. And people today live a crazy life. What is right is wrong, and what is wrong is right. Look at what's going on in our country today. And you can see that false philosophies have taken a hold of the heart of our nation. You and I need to understand that the knowledge of God overrides ignorance. Knowing God overrides ignorance, because it unmasks this deception. Romans 12:2 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And you and I need to understand that the renewing of our mind allows us to think thoughts that are godly thoughts. And we're no longer dominated by the troublers of anxiety, the troublers of fear, the troublers of imagine what. All of a sudden, our thought life changes, because our thought lives are parallel to what God has to say. When you and I have the right concept of God in our lives, we see ourselves as we should, and we see others as we should, and we see the world as we should. So when we look at the situations of our country and we look at the situations of our inner soul, we need to see God there. When we see that, then falsehood is diminished. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. There's another version that says, the Lord is my shepherd, he will not fail me. Another one says, the Lord is my shepherd, he doesn't fail. The Lord is with us and for us, and he governs our life if we let him. And yet awful thoughts come to our lives and we think the worst. Let me just give you this one quote. When it's false or diminished, our thoughts gain power over us. And some of us are being tortured day in and day out, especially when you try to sleep at night. Bad thoughts come to you. All of a sudden, you review your life and you feel yourself a failure. You review your life and you say it's wrong. You begin to fear, and fear is not of God. Let me just tell you something. When you apply God's purpose in your life and you allow the knowledge of God to take your mind and your thoughts, you are then more than a conqueror. You and I need to put our eyes and trust in the Lord. We live in a world that influences fear, and everything is upside down. I mean, if I were to ask my brother here, give me the definition of a woman, I think you can tell me what that is. And yet in the world, it's so crazy that they cannot even say what a woman is. It is so crazy today that anything goes. I mean, you know, I'm going to get in trouble. It's crazy. What goes on in the world today is upside down. When you put your eyes on God's word and you allow the word of God to restore your mind, it will give you sanity and peace of mind in your heart. Now, let me just say something else. Your mind, your troubled mind, your mind cannot remain empty. It's either filled with the world's reasoning or God's truth. And at night or at different moments in your life, when bad thoughts come to you, if those thoughts are from God's word, you'll be okay. But if those thoughts come from the world and the craziness, you will have anxiety. You will be off your mind. So the Bible tells us that we need to replace the knowledge of the world with the knowledge of God. That when those fears come, you can arrest those fears in the name of Jesus and say, no, I am more than a victor in Jesus Christ. And when the accuser comes and says, your past life was bad, and it's coming before God, you can say, Jesus took all my sins away. When you are ill and you're sick, you can say, the Lord will set me free. And if he does not set me free here, he will set me free there on the other side. There's a way of living for God and with God that requires you to replace the thoughts of the world, the anguishers, with the word of God, the knowledge of God, that God is the one who is inhabits your thoughts and occupies the biggest portion of real estate in your brain. When fears arise, when imaginations arise, you and I do not respond just with simply willpower, but with the truth that is anchored in God's word. This is what the world says. This is what the word says. Again, you know, you know that the world would want you to be defined by your failures. And that's true. And people will look at, and you look at yourself and say, I've done things wrong. But you have to remember that if you're in Christ, you're a new creature. And all things are new. And there's a false knowledge that needs to be overruled, not by your own thoughts, but by the thoughts of God's word that reside in your heart. You need to put on that word of God inside of you so that you can respond to those imaginations and those troublers in Jesus' name. So you need to have your mind transformed. And it's without God's word in your life, you will have distortions. But when you go to God's word and you seek God's word and God's thoughts, then you will be able to live a life that is triumphant. And the anguishers that torture you will be diminished. And the bad thoughts that come to you will be removed. May I say to you this morning that you need the truth of God. But not only do you need God's truth inside your heart, you need to yield to the Lord. Your will needs to surrender to the Lord, not to the thoughts of the world. So victory comes through our thoughts that are reordered by the truth. Victory comes to you when you bow to God and say, let your will be done in my life. So think of a bad thought. Don't think about it, but think of a bad thought that troubles you and say it needs to be surrendered to God's word. What does God's word say about this? And then you need to say, now, Lord, let your will be done according to your word. And I am telling you, the bad thoughts at night and the imaginations that come and the pressures you feel, once you fill your mind with God's word and you're willing to do what God says in his word, they will diminish and they will evaporate. And within a couple of days, maybe even sooner than that, you won't even remember what God has done for you, because your mind will be cleansed and washed and scrubbed. And all of a sudden you have a brand new thought life that is imputed by God's word in your life. So may I encourage you this Sunday morning to renew your mind. When things go wrong, you need to renew your mind. You need to feed your mind with the word of God. You need to do that. It's the only way that those bad thoughts will diminish. It's the only way that the anguishers will be removed. It is the only way that you can move forward. You don't do it with your own strength. You do it with God's word in your heart. It's the only way that you can counter the lies of the world today. So you need to renew your mind. You need to feed your mind with the word of God. Secondly, you need to meditate on scripture. Listen, here goes. Not quick glances, but really getting into the word of the Lord. Reflections that shapes your thought patterns. Some people go through the reading the Bible through the whole year, and I applaud you for doing that. But sometimes you need to slow down, not in a contest to see how many chapters you read in a year. You need to allow the word of God to penetrate your heart and your soul and to speak to you. May I say, not quick glances, But reflection, deep reflection, that's what reshapes your thought patterns, is the way in which you grow in the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Knowledge is relational knowledge. You spend time with the Lord. You spend time with the Word. And by all means, you renew your mind. You meditate in Scripture. But so important, you yield your thoughts to Christ. You say to Jesus, Jesus, I'm yielding this bad thought because this guy who is working with me, I would like for him to disappear from the planet. You say, Lord, I don't want that thought in my life. But worse than that, destructive imaginations come to your life. You feel like you are going to be destroyed. It wasn't that long ago that someone was given a physical analysis that they had from the blood work and came to me and said, I think I got cancer. You thought you had cancer? I think I have cancer. Well, how do you know? Well, because of the blood test. Did they tell you anything? No, it's being processed, but I know I have it. Imaginations. That's how the devil works. The devil works that way. Your thoughts being beautifully manipulated by the enemy. Destructive imagination. By the way, there was no cancer. There was nothing. But that's how it happens. So you need to consciously submit your thoughts to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And say to the Lord, Lord, I don't want to be tormented any longer. And may I just tell you that today, tomorrow, day after tomorrow, you're going to have some bad thoughts. Maybe you already have them. I want to challenge you to submit those thoughts to the Lord. I want to challenge you to meditate on God's word. I want to challenge you to renew your mind. Because nothing evil, no weapon that is formed against you can prosper. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow, I will not fear, for you are with me. And what can separate us from the love of God? Look at it, read it, Romans 8. Nothing separates us from the love of God. And if you are in the love of God, then what's your worry? Believers are tormented often by the enemy and by your own thoughts as well. And yet there's no condemnation. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. God doesn't hold your sins against you. That's why Christ came to the world. God doesn't declare you a failure. God doesn't put you down. God loves you. And there's a place in his economy for you. There's a place of fulfillment. So you have to take every thought captive and replace them with the truth. So if you get a bad thought today, replace it with a good thought from God's word. And so that may be an adventure of your life. For all of a sudden, that which came to destroy you, to perturb you, to take away your sleep, to make you feel uncomfortable, to make you feel like a failure, all those things that are going on in the world today, you bring that to the Lord and say, Lord, I want my thoughts to be captive by you. And the Lord replaces them with his words into your heart. You and I are more than victorious in Jesus Christ. And it means everything that you and I go through, the Lord is there to help us. The Lord is there to provide for us what is needed, which is victory in our daily walk with him. So, four things. First of all, coming down to it, name those external troublers. Look at your life. Oppositions, pressure, injustice, and trust God to set a table before you. Where all of a sudden, in the midst of all of the, I almost said the word, in the midst of all of the whatever of the world, the Lord sets it to people, which means I'm protecting you. You're still my child. in the midst of the issues you're facing today, work issues, family issues, marital issues, whatever, whatever, the external troublers, God sets a table and says, I am protecting you. He doesn't remove the problem at that moment. It's in the midst of the problem that he's there. Isn't that what counts? Of course it is. So name those external troublers. What is troubling out there? La suegra, señor, que tú me diste, you know. We don't want to go that far, you know. But we do want to say that there are things that are troubling us that are outside of our reach, and they come to operate. Name them. Name them. Second, recognize and name your internal troublers. What are you afraid of? What are your fears? This poor man cried out to God, and God delivered him out of all of his fears, all of his troubles, the troublers. What are you fearing the most? Name it. Name it. Name it. Say it. What are you anxious about? There's nothing wrong with coming to God saying, I'm afraid. I fear. There's nothing wrong with coming to the Lord and saying, I'm anxious. You know, somebody said, the Bible says, be anxious for nothing. So I guess if you're anxious for something, you must not be a good Christian. Read Jesus' life before in the Garden of Gethsemane and how he went through with great, great anxiety. There is a place for us to feel and to express what is pressing us inside of us. Anxiety is something that you need to surrender and name to the Lord and say, Lord, I have the capacity to fear and I have the capacity to be anxious. Please, Lord, remove them. What about memories that haunt us at night, in the morning, in the evening, in the afternoon? What about thoughts that oppresses us? You've got to recognize that they're inside of our lives, internal troublers. Troublers. They come to trouble us. They come to move us away from our objective of serving the Lord. So the third thing I'm asking you to consider is to come to God with them. We would say to spend time with the Lord in silence, solitude, in prayer. How about confessing to God? I'm going to set up a confessional right here. A confessional. You go before the Lord by yourself and say, Lord, I'm spending time because I'm confessing to you my fears. I'm afraid of this, Lord. I'm afraid of that, Lord. Lord, I'm anxious because... And you tell him, confess to the Lord. Then serve the Lord and ask God to reorder your soul under the reign of God. Reorder my life. Lord, help me to set priorities because I'm all goofed up. Fear has taken over and I just don't know what's step one, step two, step three. I'm confused. I'm anguished. I'm in pain. I'm in desperate situation of my soul. Lord, you know my pain. Lord, help me. He will. He will reorder your soul under his reign. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, the way of life, and all these things will be added unto you. So name your external troublers, recognize the internal troublers, practice some spiritual disciplines, silence, solitude, prayer, meditation, seek the Lord purposely. And then this last one is your assignment for this whole week. And I'm going to give you a test next Sunday. Preach to your soul. Tell your soul, put your trust in God. Just tell him, soul, put your trust in God. Lord, soul, why are you so worried? Why are you cast down? Put your trust in God. Tell your soul to shape up or ship out. I don't want to say ship out, but tell him to please, soul. Please, 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 put your hope in God. stand in front of that mirror. If you can tolerate the mirror, I can no longer do that. But supposedly, just a wall and say, soul, put your hope in God. And tell your soul to put its trust in God. So, travelers do not have the last word. No, they do not. Because the travelers from the outside, God sets at the table. For the internal anxieties, he restores your soul. And for the battle for your mind, Christ takes every thought captive. Captive. The human soul finds peace only when it rests in God. So that's the feast of Psalm 23. Psalms 23 is not the absence of battle, but the presence of the shepherd. So when tormental thoughts come to you, when you find oppression from the outside, when you can't sleep well at night, when all of a sudden there's a video, replay. How many know that you have a replay? Ah, y algunos lo tienen en pantalla gigante. Giant screen. Stop that recording. Stop that video. And put on the armor of God. Put on the word of God. Know that the Lord has given you victory over every bad thought. Every thought needs to be captive. Capture it. Put it in Christ's hands. He will take care of our lives. So, brothers and sisters, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. He will restore my soul. You know, it would be a wonderful thing if the assignment that I've given you, you would concentrate on the Lord's, the Lord's Prayer could be one, but on the 23rd Psalm, when you wake up in the morning, remember the 23rd Psalm. Give attention to every word. Same thing with the Lord's Prayer. Colossians chapter 3, Philippians 2. So many different passages of Scripture that should come to mind. And you know, it just changes the whole day. It changes your life. Because the Word of God is active and alive, like a two-edged sword that cuts and goes inside, removes the things that trouble us, and brings victory to our daily walk. So are you troubled? Of course we're troubled. But you know what? The Lord gives us the victory. Don't allow the internal troublers or the external problems dominate your life for Jesus. Serve the Lord with your whole heart. So Lord, I thank you this morning because we're able to come to you with external troubles, Lord. Lord, you know our day in and day out. You know the problems, Lord, the opposition to our lives, the pressures of make ends meet, the pressures, Lord, that we encounter. Lord, the injustices, Lord. Lord, in the midst of problems, Lord, we trust you that you will set the table before all of them. Lord, I pray for the problems inside of us, Lord. We pray for the removal of the fears and the anxieties and the memories and the thoughts that oppress in Jesus' name. Cause us to think thoughts that belong to you. Help us, Lord, to take time, silence and solitude and prayer and confession. Lord, reorder our soul under your reign, Lord. And help us, Lord, through the week to preach to our soul, that we would put our hope in you and not in the world. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, church, this is the day. Did you catch that? Rejoice and be glad. It is well. It is well with my soul. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the love of the Lord. You are dismissed.
We're so glad you're able to join us today. If you would like to watch the full service with the worship time included, you can check out our Facebook page. For more information about our church, go to our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.